Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Arise, shine. Your light has come. Isaiah 60. This Old Testament prophet. Arise, shine. Your light has come. Light is the opposite of darkness. Darkness is confusion. Darkness is panic. Darkness is fear. Darkness is anxiety. Darkness is illness and death. Darkness is broken relationships and separation. Darkness is moral and theological confusion. So, do we live in a dark world? The scripture lessons are in your bulletin. I'll be looking at all three this morning. I just want us to hear it. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. What kind of darkness? Thick darkness, confusion, and worry, and panic, and fear. Thick darkness covers the people. If that was the end of the reading, we'd be in a pickle. The scripture says the world is a dark place since the fall. God created everything good, right? God creates, let it be, there is, it's good. But since the fall and the sin, we live in a dark world, full of darkness and confusion. But God says, arise and shine because your light has come. God sees the darkness and he shines the light into the dark place. In Isaiah, arise, shine. The word for shine in Hebrew, there is a noun. The same root word is used again in a different word. There it's a verb, arise, shine. Verse 3, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. That doesn't sound like the word shine. The verb is shine, to enlighten, to be bright. The verb shine, the Hebrew word that's related in verse 3, is the word dawn. What does it mean? Dawn. It's the beginning of a new day. When God says he's going to act, he's talking about he's going to make things new. The beginning of a new day is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Who here has ever been in a mood for a whole day? Right? You're kind of in a funk. And you're snippy with everybody. And you don't even always know why. But it does last the whole day long. And you know you're doing it, and you say, I got to cut it out. And you do it again. All day long. When does it end? Tomorrow. In the morning. Isn't there something wonderful about that new sunrise? And yesterday was such a sullen, bleak place. And I've misspoken to my spouse and my kids all day long. And in the morning, the sun comes up. That's what Isaiah is depicting. The world is a dark place. Darkness covers the peoples. Arise and shine, your light has come, and kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. A new day. That's the work of God in Christ. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. There it is again, darkness and light. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's Jesus, the Christ, the Savior. Do you think Isaiah would agree with those words? I think he would. He wrote them, right? We're in Isaiah 60. That's Isaiah chapter 9. Same thing, darkness and light. We live in that place. And then I love Isaiah 60. It sounds like he's talking broadly and theologically, and then he gets so specific. The light will come, the light will arise, Isaiah 60, verse 6. and then herds of camels will cover your land. He's talking about the birth of the Savior. That's the new day. That's the thing that God is doing. Herds of camels will cover your land. By the way, there's not just three wise men. It's too dangerous to travel then. There's 50 or 60 wise men. There's a caravan of wise men. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah from Sheba. And I love this. How specific is this? Bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah says, bearing gold and incense. Were those the gifts? Gold and incense? Well, it's two out of three. This is a lovely passage at the sense that Isaiah is predicting what God will do in Christ and what will happen in the birth of Christ. And then, as always, the New Testament blows the doors off of the old. The old has something to say, and the new surpasses it. These are the gifts. Gold, that's a gift you bring to a king, Jesus the Lord. Incense, that's a gift you bring for a priest who prays before the Lord and offers incense before the Lord, Jesus, your priest and your Savior. But myrrh, what is myrrh? You use it to anoint a corpse. Imagine the insight. Our king and our priest and our sacrifice. The light has come, and he was crucified for the salvation of the world. What a wonderful text. Arise and shine, your light has come. And then St. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 3. The first text, darkness and light. The second one we're going to call the mystery is revealed. Paul goes on and on. There's a mystery been going on. Been going on for a long time. People didn't understand it in the past. Verse 5, this mystery was not made known to people in other generations. They looked, they didn't see. The Old Testament hints. The Old Testament suggests that there's a mystery. Nobody got it. I love a mystery. When I was a teenager, my family, we grew up in Virginia. We went almost every year to Ocean City, New Jersey, to the beach. And I would every year read an Agatha Christie novel. The murder mystery books, right? An Agatha Christie novel. How many times reading the book was I able to solve the mystery? Never. Never. I love a mystery. Who did it? And the themes and the characters and who had an alibi and what was the murder weapon and where was it found? And you know, all that stuff. How many times can I solve them? Never. I never did. Ever been to a murder mystery dinner where you have people acting it out and you're eating and trying to figure out who did what when? I've been to several. How many times have I solved the mystery? Never. So St. Paul says, there's a mystery. Well, Paul, let us in on it. Paul says, there's been a mystery. Nobody got it. It was revealed to Paul. It was revealed to Paul by the Spirit of God, he says in verse 5. And in verse 6, he just comes right out and tells you what it is. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. God has been at work, Old Testament, the prophets, the predictions, all the things that the Bible has been saying. The mystery is that the Gentiles are heirs. Now, I always know when I read that, that's not a controversy in a congregation that's made up of a bunch of Gentiles. But you need to know this. In the ancient world, if you had said to Israel, the Gentiles are going to be saved, they would have said, not them. No, Lord, not those. I love the prophet Jonah, right, in the Old Testament. God sends Jonah to Nineveh. And Nineveh is a Gentile city. And what does Jonah pray? He literally prays to the Lord, I hope they don't repent because I don't want those people to be saved. What a great missionary that he was, right? Three wise men, 50 wise men, 60 wise men. From, we'll talk about where from in a bit, but they're Gentiles. Gentiles from a distant land coming to meet the Savior, and it's disclosed openly, and Paul has said the mystery has been preached and taught to him and revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So who's included in salvation under Jesus Christ? Everybody. The Gentiles? Yes. There's a great passage in St. Paul over in Philippians chapter 3 where he says, if anybody has reasons to boast, I have more. It's kind of a funny little passage, but he's mentioning that some people think, oh, we're holy, we're more pure than other people. And St. Paul says, well, if other people want to boast, I have this. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a member of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee. I was zealous and I kept the law. Right? He's listing his resume. And you know what he says about it? He says it's rubbish. It's junk. He's not talking about my sins are rubbish. Of course they are. He said the good stuff in my resume, all rubbish. You know why? Salvation's in Christ and nothing else. The good stuff is rubbish. And Paul, this Jewish man, becomes the missionary to who? The Gentiles. That's God's plan. I'm going to send the Jewish preacher to the Gentiles. And funny enough, some Gentiles now wonder, can Jews be saved? Yes. Now, if everybody's welcome, I want us to work on this. If everybody can save, everybody can be saved. What about the Gentiles? Yes. What about somebody wrestling with alcohol? Yes. What about somebody wrestling with sexual sins? Yes. What about somebody who wrestles with controlling what comes out of their mouth? What about somebody who wrestles with their pride? Yes. What about somebody who wrestles with their business ethics? Can they be saved? Yes. This is the thing. What about me? And I don't mean just me. I mean all of us to say, Lord, what about me? Can I be saved? In Christ, yes. In Christ, yes. And then we turn to our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 2. You've heard sermons on that text many times. It's a wonderful text. The wise men coming to meet the Savior, the Magi, really. I want to talk for the next couple of minutes about this theme. Who is seeking whom? Let's talk about the wise men for just a bit. The Magi are a group of people. They study the stars and they study ancient texts. They take the people that their country, they're Babylonian and some of them were Persian, they take the conquered people's text and read them to see, are there any hints in there that we need to know? And at the same time, they look at the stars. We're not saying we support astrology, we're just saying that that's what they did. Here's some fun things to know. In Daniel 5 verse 11, not in the Hebrew, but in the Greek Old Testament, it says that Daniel was the chief of the Magi. Babylon conquered Israel, brought captives back to Babylon. One of them is Daniel, and he was so insightful and so gifted by God, they made him the chief of the Magi. That's their history. Isn't that fascinating? And they say, we've seen a star. They've encountered this text, Numbers 24, 17. I see him, but not now. This is an Old Testament text saying the Messiah is coming, but it's very distant from his perspective. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. But a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. The Magi are watching the stars, reading the Bible, and this is what they see. Again, we don't support astrology. I'm saying that God spoke to them in the way that they could get it. Right? In 7 BC, there was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, the two planets coming close together, and they were inside the constellation of Pisces. You might say, who cares about that? Here's why. To them, they referred to Jupiter as the king's planet and Saturn as the defender of Palestine. So Jupiter coming to Saturn says, a king has come to Palestine, and the constellation of Pisces always says there's the coming of a big event. That event, those three things happening at the same time, happens once every 805 years. And for the entire range of the ministry of the Magi, the birth of Jesus is the only time it ever happened. So imagine that. These guys are reading the Old Testament. They're looking at the stars. And again, we don't support that method, but I think that God spoke to them in a way that they understood. They saw the stars and said, a king has come to Israel, and this is a biggie. Let's go. Isn't that cool? Jesus was born in 6 BC or 5 BC. A trip of 900 miles, 3 months of walking and riding on camels. But I want us to know this. We usually say, and you see this on church signs, wise men still seek him, right? Wise men still seek him. Here's my question. Who is actually seeking whom? God was seeking them, right? God was seeking them because God had sent them the Old Testament. And God had sent them Daniel. And God had sent them a sign in the stars that they would read. Yes, they made the trip. Yes, they brought the gifts. Yes, they came. But God was seeking them out. So here's the question for us. Is God seeking us out? God is the one who seeks, right? God has sought you out. He sent his son. Now we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Lord God has gifted us the entirety of scriptures, and God has put people in your life who have brought the message of hope to you. God is seeking you out. So here's what these three texts say. We live in a world of darkness, and in Christ, God is shining a light so that all may come to the God who seeks you, to the God who seeks you out in Christ. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.